Bible teaches concerning. We have alcohol, abortion, capitalism versus socialism, self-defense, all kinds of different topics out there on, you know, just what does the Bible teach about these things. And recently, I was telling Brother Ken the other day, recently we had an event was held here, and people were taking a bunch of those. That's a blessing. And nobody touched the alcohol one. Nobody wanted to know why the Bible was against that. But we try to put those out there so you can take those with you, use those as kind of a helpful guide maybe to be able to talk to people about some of these topics. And there's one that we don't have yet out there that we're going to do this morning. We're going to teach through it in the Sunday school hour, and I've got a stack of them I'll put out there in case it interests you to have the information. This morning for the Sunday school hour, we're going to take our time and look at what the Bible teaches about the earth. What the Bible teaches about the earth, from creation all the way to the end of it. What does the Bible teach about it, and why does that matter for us? Of course, it all had to fit on a front and a back page, so it's not everything the Bible teaches about it, but it's a pretty solid foundation for people to be able to defend our faith in these areas, and most commonly to not have to freak out about everything concerning the world that the world tries to get us to freak out about, because we have some promises from God that are very important concerning the earth. So we'll pray and then we'll dive right in, and I hope it'll be a blessing and help to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time we have together in the Sunday school hour. Pray please help us to learn some things from your word today, Lord, maybe be reminded of some things. And Lord, help us to confidently be able to teach and preach these to other people as well. The world is constantly attacking some of these details that we're going to be looking at today. And Lord, help us to defend your word, defend the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as all of these start in this day, with so many different teachings and beliefs coming from so many various sources, of utmost importance to go to the only reliable source for the correct answer, the Word of God, the King James Bible. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Word of God. Now, to start you have to start when talking about the earth, you have to start with creation. Genesis chapter 1. That'll be an easy one to find, right? Genesis chapter 1. We have to start there because it is the starting place. And when addressing creation, it's very tempting to go after or to spend too much time going after the science falsely so-called contained in the ever-evolving theory of evolution. Recently, I saw, I don't know why certain things pop up on my social media that pop up, but there was something that popped up that claimed to be a chart that showed, you know, all the stages from single-cell organisms all the way to where we are now. And I had all these pictures and graphics and things, and of course couldn't cite a single bit of evidence that any of it had ever occurred. But they made this nice, pretty graphic, and there were people, all of these people, you know, piling on how wonderful it was and how helpful it was. And can I print this? Can I have this? I want to share this with my ignorant religious friends. And so I was like, I'll do it. I asked the question because it, you know, it just goes backwards from us. So before us was this, and before this was this, and all the way back to single cell organisms containing life. And so I asked the question. What was before the single cell organisms containing life? I'm not picking a fight here. I'm trying to honestly get the current belief. What came, you know, how did life begin? And one person did, you know, he gave me an article and all this stuff. And this is what the current prevailing theory is. And essentially it's, you know, the same as it's always been. Well, a whole lot of stuff had to happen. And we're not sure what it was, and we have absolutely no evidence that it ever happened, but it's what we're going with. And I forget the big long term they use for it, but that's the prevailing theory of where life came from, according to the evolutionists. And so, of course, we don't believe that. We believe the Bible. And, hold on a second. My iPad thinks I'm talking to it. We believe the Word of God, and so we just... we go by what the Word of God says, and makes it pretty simple. When it comes to creation, you cannot mix evolution and creation together. Anybody that tries to do that, they're just trying to compromise and not be the bad guy, or they've been deceived themselves. You just can't fit what the world teaches about how we got here with what God teaches about how we got here. There's no way at all to do that. There are plenty of instances we could talk about, which we won't, but you could compare micro versus macro evolution, define and see what they both are. The circular reasoning used in the timetables where they'll say, you know, well, this rock layer is this old, and we know that because of the bones we found in it, and the bones are this old because we know that because of where we found them. You see why that's a problem? It doesn't make any sense, it's circular reasoning, but they do that. And then, you know, there's things like, oh, well, we carbon dated this, and we know that it's this old. They've got a cowboy boot that's supposedly 70,000 years old, according to carbon dating. So obviously not an exact science. They carbon dated a blue whale skeleton one time, and the back half was about 30,000 years older than the front half. And sometimes maybe we have, you know, parts of our body that don't quite work right and feel like they're a little older than the other parts, but I don't think that's the case in that. So they'll, you know, they try to make us feel silly, and all you have to do, in my opinion, to combat that is to think they believe in the beginning nothing became something, and we believe in the beginning God. I think it takes more faith to believe what they believe. I think it's a sillier belief by far than believing that, hey, all of this designed, intricate workings of the human body and photosynthesis and all the different things that are natural processes, somebody designed them. That doesn't seem that silly to me. And so what does the Bible say? Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So we have day one, we have the light and the darkness divided. Now note, God said, let there be light. There is no sun yet. There are no stars yet. There's no moon yet. That comes later. They said, let there be light, and there was light. We find later on, of course, that God himself is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse number 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So now we have an atmosphere. Now we have an earth that isn't just water and space. There's water, and there's air, and then there's outer space. There's that gap in the middle, the atmosphere, the firmament, that is the heavens, the first heaven. Genesis 1, verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters he called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, this is important. We have so far light from God, no sun, no moon, no stars. We have the atmosphere created, the first heaven, the air we breathe compared to the water and the sky. And then we have the dry land and all the grass and all the trees and all that coming. Then we get to day 4. Day 4 starts verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So now on the fourth day, we have light from the stars. We have the sun, the moon, the stars. It's the reason I pointed out that all out to you is from 24 hours to the next 24 hours, a plant can live without the sun. You don't really need photosynthesis at a constant rate, but if you were to go thousands or millions of years without sun, that'd be a problem. And we'll the reason I point that out to you now, we'll see in just a little bit. We get to day number 5, verse number 20. Bible says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's also a very important passage. That shows God designed this thing and gave man dominion over it. Not just over the animals, but over everything, including the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's a whole other sermon. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We skipped on verse 31. God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, day seven, we see that in Genesis 2, 1 through 3. The work is done. It's time to rest. And praise the Lord for that. But we see this creation laid forth in the scripture very clearly. God gives us the mark of this is what I did on this day. This is what I did on this day. And maybe in a job you've had in the past or something, you've had to keep a record of, hey, well, these are the tasks that I completed today. It's the same concept. The Lord is just letting us know this day I created this and it was good. And this day I created this and it was good. And this day I created this and it was good. And he gives them to us in order. And that's important for us to understand, because I think the Lord knew that there would be some foolish people out there that would try to squish together science, falsely so called, and the Word of God, and they don't fit together. True science always proves the Bible. There are many great scientific minds over the centuries that it's not very popular about them. They'll be hailed for their scientific minds, but then if you study their lives, many of them, the more they learned, the closer they became to God. And many of them converted and became Christians later in life because of their pursuit of science. And the more you study science without a bias, the more you study true, provable, repeatable science, the more you realize that this place was designed, that there is a creator, that there is a God. Nowadays, it's funny, even when I was in school, the notion of what's called intelligent design was cast out as this ridiculous thing, and it was an overall broad way to say that there is no God. But now there are leading evolutionists that will claim that intelligent design could have happened, but they attribute it to, of course, aliens. They attribute it to some unknown race or some ancient race or something. And what used to be laughed at as science fiction, they prefer that over the Bible. And so now some of them are even going that route because they can no longer say, the more they learn about this world, the more they can't defend the idea that it just came from nothing. And so several of these men have begun to say, well, intelligent design is looking more and more like is what happened, but it wasn't God. It was some other kind of intelligence. It's crazy. When you don't go by the Bible, you just got to make stuff up, and it gets more and more crazy as you go. Or you could just say, you know what? The Word of God's true, and God created this thing. Now, the question becomes, Justin, can you mute these two? Because they're getting a ring. I don't know if you guys hear it, but I hear it. It's bugging me. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 20. The question becomes, okay, how long did it take? Well, if you just read your Bible and believe it, we've talked about how to properly interpret the Word of God and the literal interpretation method, how the Bible means exactly what it says, and it's not a picture or an allegory unless it says that it is. So we take it to mean exactly how it's written. If you do that, then a child can understand exactly what's being said. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Now, we as Americans would probably phrase that morning and evening, but that's not how God phrased it, and that's not how the Israelite day worked either. The Israelite day went from evening to the next day. It began in the evening, began at nightfall, and ended with the next day. So it's a little different than what we're used to in America, but essentially it's the same concept. He says the evening and the morning were the first day. We understand you can only have one evening and one morning in 24 hours, so even a child will understand what's being said, but there are those who won't just believe the word of God. So Exodus chapter 20, verse number 9, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we have the comparison given to us from the scriptures in the Ten Commandments saying, just like God created all of this in 6 days and then rested, you're supposed to work for 6 days and then rest. And so for those who say, well, the days, you know, are 1,000 years, and they misapply a verse and they say, oh, you know, one day with God is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. We don't know how long. It's called the day age theory. There's a lot of people who claim the day age theory, and they say that each day in Genesis represents an age of time. And therefore, God could have used evolution as a means of creation. That doesn't fit. Doesn't fit at all. For one, God says, the exact same way I created this thing, the week that I had, that's the week you have. And I don't know about you, Mondays sometimes may seem long, but they're not thousands of years long. It's a day. And we're supposed to work 6 days and rest just like God did. And so if his day was a 24-hour day and our day is a 24-hour day, then the passage makes sense. And even more clear than that is the fact that plant life was created on day three. And plants need the sun in order to survive. And so day four in God's timeline is when the sun is created. We have the plants before the sun. Now, there's no problem if that's a 24-hour day. That's totally fine. But if it's a day age, well, then all the plant life would be dead before the sun ever was created. And so so you cannot squeeze evolution into the Bible. It does not fit. It will never fit. The Word of God means exactly what it says. So that's just one of the most clear arguments for that and evidences of that is the fact that God created the plant life before he created the sun. And if you just believe the way the Word of God is written, then you won't even have any trouble with that at all. Now, it's also important to note, if you look in this Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. There are those who believe in what's called a old earth creationism, essentially that there's a gap in Genesis 1, I think verse 2, where it's not day age. What they think is the earth, the rock itself, was, you know, far older, and everything else was created in 6 days. But here the Bible clearly says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. So it doesn't say the Lord, you know, made heaven and remade the earth. The earth is listed as something that God made in those 6 days. So we don't ascribe to that either. That belief is far better than the day-age theory, but it's not biblical from what we see in the scripture. Some people will go to that and they'll try to fit the fall of Satan in that predetermined time and all these different things. And I understand that. And they use, you know, the fact that in Genesis, God uses the word replenish the earth. And I understand all that. But the Word of God tells us that the earth and everything in it was created in 6 days. So that's what we believe. Now, I'm going to give you an incomplete list of all the mentions of the word creation outside of Genesis 1 and 2 that all reference back to the creation of the world. We'll turn to a couple of them, but I'm going to read several of these. And if you're taking notes, I am going to give you the entire note sheet. So don't worry about trying to hurry real quick because I've got it all printed up. Genesis 5:1, Genesis 5:2, Genesis 6:7, Exodus 20 verse 11, which we just read, Deuteronomy 4:32, Psalm 89:12. Of course, Psalm 19 is one of the most popular ones in the world. Psalm 104:30, Psalm 148:5, Isaiah 40 verse 26, Isaiah 41 verse 20, Isaiah 42 verse 5, Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 7, Isaiah 45 verse 8, Isaiah 45 verse 12 and verse 18. Isaiah 54, verse 16, Ezekiel 28:13, Ezekiel 28:15, Malachi 2:10, 1 Corinthians 11:9, Ephesians 2:10 and 3:9, Colossians 1:16, Colossians 3:10, and Revelation 4:11 and 10:6. Now that's just a very small sample of all the times that God uses the word created in direct reference to what God did at the beginning of it all. That he created the world. Now, the word creation is reference to the creation of the world is found several places: Mark 10:6, Mark 13:19, Romans 1:20, Romans 8:22, 2 Peter 3:4, Revelation 3:14, John 1:1-5, Hebrews 1:10. Christ himself referred to the beginning of creation twice in Mark 10:6 and Chapter 13:9. So you cannot say, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in creation. The two are mutually exclusive. If you can't get past the first five words of the Bible, in the beginning God created, then how are you going to believe the rest of the Bible? It's a problem. You can't say, I don't believe page one, but I'm trusting page 1001 for the salvation of my soul. It doesn't make any sense. It's not very logical. It's the same argument when people say, well, I believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. I don't believe it's all the Word of God. Well, then what if the verse that you're trusting for your salvation for eternity is wrong? You either believe it all or it's an unsure foundation. And so the same goes with same concept can be applied to creation. If you can't believe creation, that's going to really harm your beliefs in other areas. We'll look at that more detail in just a moment. Turn with me to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. I know we're referencing a lot of verses, but we haven't turned to a lot yet. So Psalm 148. Y'all are probably familiar with this one. And then we're going to go all the way to the other side of Revelation chapter 4. Psalm 148 and verse number 5. The Bible says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. That's a good verse. Now, direct reference there, verse 4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. So it's not talking about necessarily men praising God, but we're created by him. So verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Verse 6, he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Now, you go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. So God commanded, and the world was created. God commanded, and we were created. You know, let us make man in our own image. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. I believe we looked at this last week. Revelation 4:11. Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is why I believe people hate creation. This is why they go through so much trouble to try to disprove the Word of God when it comes to creation. You know how many billions and billions of dollars have been wasted trying to find the origin of life when the Word of God tells us the origin of life? How many billions of dollars have been wasted trying to compare man to monkey when the Bible says man and monkey were never related? If we just believe the Bible, we'd have all kinds of money laying around. I mean, that's just, you understand? I mean, the waste is crazy, and that's a sermon for another day, but there was recently there was a report. Millions was spent on studying the mating habits of some insect. Like, why do we care? I mean, this is just a ridiculous stuff, but we'll get to Romans 1 in a moment. People worship and serve the creation more than the creator. And so people hate the idea of creation because, well, if God created it, then He owns it and it belongs to Him and we are bound to Him. He is the authority. Revelation 4:11 tells us, for His pleasure, He created everything. And that means that your purpose and mine is to please God because we are His creation. Now, that's why people don't like creation because, well, if God created it, then He's in charge. And so they want any other solution other than God created this world. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to be in this verse later today, so you guys are getting a preview. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 13. Ecclesiastes, of course, is written by Solomon, under inspiration of the Lord, written by Solomon, wisest man to ever live according to God. He's written all of Proverbs. He's written all of Ecclesiastes. We come to verse 13, the second to last verse of the two books. And the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So the conclusion of all the wisdom that God gave Solomon. That would be a pretty good summary, I would think. We would want to know what that is. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is why people don't like creation. They don't want to be bound to God. They don't want to be property of God. They don't want to fear God and keep His commandments. They want to be their own God. And so they search for any other explanation other than God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that's why people hate it. Now, never let anybody tell you that a theory which claims that life came from non-living matter and cannot begin to explain the origin of life is scientific. Evolution is a faith. It takes far more faith, in my opinion, to believe what modern men wrote about at the beginning of time than it does to believe what the Bible says. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3 state, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament sheweth His handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, and night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. God's creation tells us there's a God. Anybody with any lick of sense at all can just look and see, you know, this piece of metal was melted down, formed, bent, and made into this shape, and then it was put on this pedestal, and it was built in such a way that it serves a purpose. Somebody did this. This didn't just fall out of the sky. This microphone, I can't begin to explain how it works. That's probably part of my problem. I can't begin to explain how I can talk into here and it can go down in that wire and up through the attic and over into that. And then it's you know, it doesn't just go through these speakers. It goes into the internet. You can listen to this from Zimbabwe. I can't explain that. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm just not smart. But that, nobody would think something like that just happened. If you were to ask, you know, ask an evolutionist, did your car just happen by random accident? They would have to say, no, of course not. It's too complex. Well, the more you look at creation, the more you realize there's no way this just happened by accident. It's too complex. There is a creator. There is a God. So Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. And it speaks to us. It shows us. If you cannot believe those first five words of Scripture, then how can you believe the Red Sea was parted? How can you believe the earth opened up and swallowed up Korah? How can you believe that you have a soul? I mean, all of those things, if you can't believe God made it all, then how can you believe the other things? God's creation helps us in every aspect of our faith, because if you believe that God created the Nile River, then you have no trouble believing that He could turn it to blood. I mean, He made it. If God created the Red Sea, then God can hold back the waters of the Red Sea for a little while His people walk across. I mean, if God created all that is, then it's all subject to His authority and His power. You say, well, that's an impossible thing. Nothing's impossible with God. Why? Because He made it all. He owns it all. He knows how to work it all. If God created the donkey, then it's not surprising that we can see God make one speak. Say, how in the world could a donkey speak? Because God made it. God loosed its tongue and let it speak to Balaam. And boy, wasn't that a surprise. His reaction is even more surprising. He just starts talking to it. It's like, man, is this like normal for you? It's weird. But people look at those passages
And they say, oh man, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, if you can believe God created all of it, then why can't you believe it? So to me, if you can get past page one of your Bible, it helps with all the rest. Because if God made it, then he can control it. He can do what he wants with it. And there's nothing that's out of limits or out of bounds or impossible for him. Now that's creation. Now we got to get to the next two. Secondly, and I don't even know if this is a proper word, continuation. I felt like making it all C's this time sounded smart. Continuation. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. So, if we can say, okay, what does the Bible teach about the earth? Well, the first thing is God made it. God made it. Now, what else do we need to know? Second thing I would say you need to know is God sustains it. Hebrews 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is speaking of Christ. John chapter 1 tells us that there was nothing made, nothing in the world was made without him being involved in it. He was creator God, and so the Word in the beginning, he created all things. And then here in Hebrews, we see that Christ, he upholds all things by the word of his power. You say, well, what's the all things? I think it's all things. Again, literal interpretation of the word of God. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Colossians chapter 1, if we want to get a cross-reference here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Colossians 1, 17. Speaking of Christ again, the Bible says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. That word consist, being held together, being kept together, being continued. And so, will the earth last? Well, God created it, and you see from Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1, God is sustaining it. In Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I used that in a paper in my English class in college, and I got in trouble for it because the paper was supposed to be on sustainability, and I did the paper on a sustainable scam and wrote all about how evolution had lasted this long as a scam because people don't like God and all this stuff, and I used a lot of Bible verses, and I did not pass the assignment. But this verse, it just tells us the way it is, you know, because it used to be, oh, global warming, oh, global cooling, oh, there's going to be an ice age, oh, there's going to be no ice. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Some of you have lived through several of those things. I've now lived through a couple of different predictions of, you know, the polar ice caps are going to be gone and all this stuff. Now they finally figured out how to sound a little less ridiculous. Oh, climate change. Well, yeah, the climate changed in here today. It was, yesterday it was 60 in here, and today it's 72. Oh, the climate changed. And you know, it's kind of cloudy out today, and yesterday there was some sun. The climate changed. So, oh, we mean over periods of time. I know what you mean. Last Christmas, we had like negative 25. This Christmas, there was no snow. It was like 50 out. That's a climate change. Oh, we mean over thousands and millions of years. I wasn't aware that people were taking the temperature 2,000 years ago. I don't know where they get that information. Well, we study this and study that. The one thing they learned, they used to make this claim. I don't know if you've heard this claim. They used to drill, you know, they drill these ice core samples at the poles and, you know, Antarctica and all that stuff. And they would make these claims that, well, every layer is a year, just like the rings on a tree. And I've seen it in science books. Every layer of this ice core is a year, like the rings on a tree. They've since had to correct that. A lot of science books didn't take it out, but they've since had to correct that because they realized every layer was a new snowfall. Well, if you're at the, you know, if you're in Antarctica, a new snowfall happens pretty often, quite a few times in a year. And so they had to throw that theory out the window. And they said, well, we still think that this proves this or that. Well, then one day they were drilling down for a core sample and they hit a plane. They hit a plane from World War II. And I think the Ark has a whole diorama on this thing, but they hit a plane from World War II in an area that they thought was millions of years old. It's like, oops, I guess not. And so my uncle used to be a guy that through all his schooling, he was one of those guys taking ice core samples, and he told us right away, he's like, yeah, there's no way this is years, you know, this is snowfalls. So there's all these things that people claim, and you know, they're all freaking out about, you know, global this, global that, the earth's gonna die, and whatever you want to do as far as recycling and all that stuff, hey, take care of the earth. The first job God gave Adam was to tend the garden, you know, to take care of it. I understand that. But we're not supposed to be concerned with something that God said he would take care of. If God said that you're saved and you're secure until the day of redemption, which the Bible says, then you should not be fretting about, can I lose it? Can I lose it? Can I lose it? The Bible says you can't. So trust God. And if you're fretting about something that God has promised you, then that's a lack of faith. And so these Christians, or these so-called Christians who are just losing their minds about, we have to save the planet. No, we don't. He promised to do that. And that brings us to our last point, condemnation. What's going to happen to the earth? Well, funny you should mention global warming, right? Because the earth is going to burn up one day. Now, we don't have time for, well, I can just read a couple of these too. The Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth in the book of Revelation. After the church age, after the rapture, after the time of Jacob's trouble, and the close of Christ's thousand-year reign on earth, God's word states in Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Passed away. What's that mean? Well, 2 Peter 3:10 reads, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. So yeah, one day it's going to get real hot. When God's done with this place, he's going to burn it up. Literally, he's going to melt the whole thing down and start fresh. And there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And there'll be no more sin. It'll be glory forever. Praise God for that. That's a promise in the Word of God. And so the end of it all, you can take care of this place as good or as poorly as you want to. When God says time's up, and it's going to go. And there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. And why this matters, I think, first of all, creation, quite literally the first teaching in the Word of God. We've already talked about, if you can't get past page one and believe it, it's going to affect you and everything else that you believe. If you don't believe creation, then you're going to be forced to settle for something less, like evolution, which places man and beast equal. And we've seen the product of decades now of children being taught that they're no better than animals. Surely has not gone well for our society. When you're taught that God made you and God is righteous and holy and just and he expects you to behave, that goes a little better than, well, you're just no better than a monkey. Monkeys throw poo and you know, do nothing of any kind productive, and look at our culture today. I mean, yeah, people sure look like it. I mean, the way they act, the things they say, the things they do and don't do, it's crazy. Because they've been taught and they believe, well, there's nothing special about me. God's word says that we are special. We've been given dominion, all these things. So why it matters? Well, I think Romans 1 speaks of this. I think this will be our last place. Romans chapter 1. If you don't believe what God's word says about the earth, about creation, about the animals and the world and all this, if you don't believe what the Bible says, then you will easily end up in this place in Romans chapter 1. Verse number 20. Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now you continue on, and it gets worse, but we see these people that reject the idea of God and reject the belief of God, they end up worshipping and serving the creation more than the Creator. And we can see that also happening in our culture. We can see the fact that you can murder a child in the womb for nothing. The government will pay for it. Nobody will be mad at you. But if you break a bald eagle egg, you're going to prison and paying a $50,000 fine. I mean, what happened? The creation is being given priority over the Creator. The Creator said that life is precious and it begins at conception. And the creation, it's just, well, you know, we got to protect these eagle eggs. There's a church in Florida that I know of that have some friends there, and they were getting ready for a building project, and they had tortoises. You know, we got groundhogs, they got tortoises, I guess. And they said that these tortoises, that if they were caught trying to get the tortoises off the property in order to facilitate the building being built, they'd be fined thousands of dollars per tortoise for disrupting the tortoises. I don't know, you know, thank the Lord that that's not the case with groundhogs, because we have sent some groundhogs to glory here at this church. But it's crazy. This whole thing's crazy, and it stems from people not believing what the Word of God says on page one. God created it. God gave man dominion over it. And if you don't believe that, you're going to end up believing something crazy and something that takes you away from God. So the most important point to consider in learning all of this is whether or not you have asked God to create you anew. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When it comes to belief in creation, if you can't say, I believe God, but I don't believe the first thing he said. It just doesn't fit. And so don't ever let somebody try to deceive you into thinking that the Word of God is inaccurate or not true or unscientific. The Word of God is true. And if, you know, if people have a problem with that, then they just have a problem with God. They don't want God as their authority. If you can look around at this world and see the detail and see the uniqueness of this creation and the complexity of this creation and say, this came from nothing, that's, the Bible says you're a fool. And so we don't want to be that. We want to be wise. We want to trust God, believe the scriptures, and we want to try our best to let other people know, hey, it's not crazy to believe that God made this thing. It's crazy to believe that he didn't. It's not foolish to believe in a creator. It's foolish to think that this came from nothing. And so never back down on the truth and always share it in love with others to the best of your ability. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for creation. Thank you for the marvelous things we can learn from it, the ways that we can see you in it, and Lord, the many ways that it blesses us every single day. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.